looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, welcome everyone to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, giving you reasons to feel better. And that's really what we are focused on. We just want you to feel better. You don't have to feel perfect and you don't have to feel like a certain way, but we definitely want you to feel better, and especially by listening to the show. And today really is what makes everybody feel better. It's all about health. And what does health mean to you? What value does it hold? Without our health, we have nothing and no one. So health really, and it just has to be our number one priority. But we don't always make it that way, do we? So today, if we were to think, if you realize that you only had 6 months to live, you would think that nothing in the world would matter other than what? What is it? What is your thing? What is it your thing that you're wanting to do if you really knew that you only had 6 months to live? Would it be, would you focus on your health, or would you just toss that up and go, I'm going for everything? Well, we've got to figure out what is blocking us when we decide that health isn't our priority. Like, why? Why is that? Because really, as we just were saying, it's everything. And so I want to welcome today, we welcome a certified healing intuitive and the author of the new book, 6 Months to Live. It's by Kathy Anello, and we have her here today. And she is going to share with us how we can stay committed to our true path to health when facing challenges or obstacles. And I know Kathy's on the line, but I want to read a little bit of her bio. Kathy's story is very inspiring, having lost everything in her life due to a divorce and a house fire, while also being faced with the looming fate of a very close family member who had been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and began the fight of his life to stay alive, all of which helped her, Kathy, to awaken and begin to ponder whom and what was the most important things in her life were. The devotion to everything other than her true self, including her devotion to the corporate workplace, was blurring Kathy's truth. She began a quest for answers to why we often choose work or money over what really matters, which provoked her to ask the honest questions, lots of them, including the most eye-opening one. If you knew your life was going to end, would this matter if you only had 6 months to live? That's such an intense question. I can't wait to talk about this. Well, after pondering these questions, she began to take divinely inspired action, beginning to feel joy and gratitude for the people and things that really mattered most, and her life completely transformed. Now, if that isn't an awesome, like, okay, I want to hear, what's Kathy going to say? Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, so you're in California, but you're actually in LA right now. Oh, I'm in Toronto.
Yeah.
And that was funny because I got to be on your show, and we didn't even get to say that in the bio there, but you host an amazing show, The Best Life Cafe, which is such a fun place to visit, if you guys all want to check it out there. And that's really what, like, this is so interesting because we might say that, or we might casually toss that question out in conversation, you know, if you had 6 months to live, what would matter? But you actually sat down and went through this and then wrote a book about it.
I did. That's true. I did. I really was, you know, and the title's a bit misleading for a lot of people because, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, she was diagnosed and given a 6 month life sentence. But really what it was, and just to clarify, divorce had nothing to do with it. That was 20 years ago. I don't know why that's in the bio, but we'll work on that. What happened? I just want to clarify that. But what it was at the time when I was going through this, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I really was just living a very unfulfilled life. Like, I knew that energetically, on a cellular level, the way I operated during the day and night was not supporting those joyful feelings that we should be able to have every day. And so that was really sort of the beginning of this quest for me to find out, You know, like, wow, like, if my life was going to end, like, what would I really do? Like, what would be important? Who would be important? What would I let go of? What would I keep? You know, those kinds of questions that we don't always take the time to answer because life is so moving 100 miles an hour. Yeah. And we just kind of go, okay, great, next day, you know, like, thank you, next. And but it really, for me, I had the opportunity and the time to sit down and really ask myself some questions that needed to be answered in order for me to get on that path.
Do you think that because we mentioned in that bio too that you were with a close family member who really was facing this, do you find that it's when we witness others going through something that we think, oh my gosh, what would I do in that situation, that really brings
I think we get blindsided by life a lot, and mm-hmm. I think that particular person was very close to our family, and he did survive, and just for the record. He's doing magnificently in his life right now. But it does cause you to take a step back when someone close to you is either diagnosed or someone close to you is going through a really hard time and there's nothing you can really do to help them. It really causes you to sort of go, hey, wait a minute. Like, let's just push the pause button and see what's really going on here. Because illness, you know, you were talking about health, like illness will manifest in your body based on how you're living your life. I'm a firm believer of that. Like, because when I'm in my joy and I'm happy and I'm taking good self-care measures and I'm really just living the authentic person that I am, like my health is a beautiful byproduct of that. Mm-hmm. But when I'm stressed and I'm living outside of the lines of my truth, or I'm, you know, questioning my path, then that's when I can start to get, like, I'll notice, you know, the sniffles or a sore throat or, you know, tired. I'm not really a person who gets depressed, but I've seen, you know, people who just will lay in bed all day, or, you know, binging on Netflix and not even turn their head when you walk in the room, and you're like, wow, like, yeah, that's a complete manifestation of an unhappy life.
Losing their luster, you know, and forgetting what the joy is. You said something that I thought was so cool and funny. You're talking about Netflix. When you said, you know, that we maybe not should, but when we want to press the pause button. So imagine if somebody's listening right now and they're like swirling around and realizing that, oh my gosh, I am just getting up and doing this every day and I'm not really experiencing joy. How do we tell our family, just chill for a second, I need to press the pause button? How do we tell our, like, how do we press the pause button?
$1 million question. You know, for me, what I have learned is literally just to push it. And then I shut off my phone. I shut off social media. I shut off the television. I go into nature. Like, nature for me, I'm lucky enough to have a 65-acre redwood trees and ranch where I can process and walk and talk to the animals, so to speak.
Yes.
But really for me, it's about saying, okay, I got to stop this. I've got to stop this cycle. I've got to stop this chain of events. And the only way you can do that is to push the pause button and step out of the world that you're living every day. Sometimes for me, that could be taking a 5-day vacation. It could be going to a massage, you know, for 3 hours in the spa, or sitting in a hot spring, or just, and really being alone. And for me, a lot of people don't like to sit in silence, but I like to sit in silence. And when I'm in silence is when I process the best. That and driving my car for hours and hours and hours. And that's when I can literally solve my world problems.
Yeah, driving is very meditative. Like, it's hypnotic is what I think. You see, like, this soul. But I love it. I feel like I wanted to say, yeah, book an appointment with nature. That's what you need to do. Book that appointment.
Yeah.
Get it on the calendar.
Yeah, that's a big one for me, for sure. Nature always brings me back in the beach. Like, if I... on the beach, like, never, you know, if you go to the beach with me, you might not talk to me for 4 hours while we're there, because I'm either in the water with the boogie board, you know, going with the flow of the waves, and I let the waves sort of teach me the flow of life. And that, I really truly did that exercise one time where I was sitting out on a boogie board for, I don't know, probably 3 hours. And every time it brought me in, I would be like, okay, go with the flow, Kathy. Just, you know, ride the wave. Go with the flow. And I trained my mind to sort of learn how to live in the flow of life, because things, you know, are going to come up and things are going to smack you in the face. And you have to just be able to go with the flow. And it's a really hard thing to do, because we want to control our lives and every aspect and every person in it. Yes.
Fun.
You know, I just laughed when you said smacking in the face because, here, poor Netflix is getting stuff today. But you know how Netflix comes off those and it goes, boom, right? I will say that. I actually jump back every time. It always scares me. And I'm like, oh, I go, she's like, it just hit me in the face. But life doesn't. I love that you did that exercise about moving with the flow and just that must have been a little bit tricky because you have to calm down the anxiety that rises when you want to control a situation and just like surrender to the flow, knowing that you can the resistance is what could make you sick. Let's bring that back to the health thing. What were you experiencing health issues at the time?
Well, what I was experiencing was, the me today compared to the me then was, 30 pounds heavier. My skin, my hair was falling out. Like all of it was from stress. I had a very stressful job. And it was just my whole physiological body was out of alignment with like that feeling of just contentment and peace. And it was really clear to me on a daily basis because I would cry every day and I had a lot of anxiety attacks and I was just like very, very, very unhappy.
This is more about wellness. Here's a really, because we don't know this yet either. Job stress. Does this mean that everybody should quit if they have stress or do they have to find their alignment and then they find the joy in that same exact job that they may have thought was so horrible? Like, are you still in that job or?
Oh, no. My story is pretty simple, is that I was in I was kind of working for 15 years for a company, and the last 2 years, the prodigal son came in, and women were, sort of what's been going on, not sexual harassment by any means, but really just a very male-dominated world started to happen, and I was tied to the paycheck, so I really just sat there for 2 years and kept my mouth shut. And watched other people being put in positions where they would lose their jobs, and it's mostly women. And then when I finally got the courage to really just say, yeah, I can't live in this because of my integrity, and I don't care how much money I'm making doing this, and I stood up to what was really going on, I got fired. So that was really the catalyst for me to kind of go, okay, stop life. And what the heck are you doing? And so it was really a gift in the big picture. Of course, at the time, it was a horrible, blow to my everything. But it was really just taking that moment and going, this is the first day now of the rest of your life.
That's a tough moment. And a lot of people right now, I know even one of my dear friends, she's an author, wrote a chapter, and it is about an abusive job. And it's like, you can know that by standing in your integrity, you could get fired. Like you probably walked in going, I could get fired over this, but there's something about the self-love that you had maybe, or like, what was it that allowed you to,
walk
through it?
Like, I always think of Mel Robbins' 5-second rule, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like go. The moment that I decided to stand up, flashback just about 6 months or a year earlier when I was really sitting in my office one day and I was crying because I had been told I was an incompetent, whatever. And I was sitting there and I wrote on Twitter, I don't know how I'm going to live, hashtag, I only know how I'm not going to live. And a voice sort of said to me, well, if you had 6 months to live, Kathy, is this what you'd be doing? And it was a resounding no, like, absolutely not. I would get up and I'd walk out the door. And I lived after that. I'm a firm believer you can't unring the bell once you have a thought. And so what happened for me was, like, I had to live with that thought. And then for another period of time, I lived with that thought knowing that I was out of alignment with who I am every day. And that made it even worse. And then that was also happening in my home life, which I wasn't willing to even admit. So I was really getting hit with a double whammy. And at the time, my life was spinning out of control. So for me, it was like, I can't go another day without speaking my truth. And once I spoke my truth, everything changed, like everything. So how do you argue with that? Because the universe is like, giving me like the round of applause, like finally, finally.
Yes. I have a line for you. It's incompetent to incontentment.
Everybody handles that differently too, depending on where they are in their life of courage and how much they can handle in the life lessons, you know, because often I'll hear somebody say something maybe not so nice to me, and I'll think, wow, that really hurt. But you know, how do others take it? How do others handle it? Why am I being such a big baby? But you want to honor yourself whenever you're in a situation that is stressful, that we all are at different levels of expansion or happiness and joy, but we all know when we're not, and that comes up in these different ways. And so when you said that's when you heard that question, like, what if I had 6 months to live? Is that where the idea for the book kind of came?
Well, you know, yes and no. Like, no, not in that moment at all. Okay. But what happened was after I got fired, but I had been journaling, like, my thoughts and my feelings about it during that time. And so then after I got fired, I had all this time, and I started to just write. And because I've always, you know, writing was like my passion. And so I started to write. And as I was writing, I went to this writer's workshop in San Francisco. It was something I'd never done, you know, by myself. Went and spent a night out by myself in a hotel and went to an event without any friends or anything. And I listened to these speakers and I was like, wow, like, I actually have a book here. Like, I knew I had a book there. So that's really where it was born. And then I kind of went home and took another year or more to write it and really put it into a format of book. So it took me a while to really put it, because I also share a lot of personal stories. And, you know, whenever you share your personal stuff, it's a delicate dance, because once it's out there, it's
open. Well, when we do come back, because we're going to scoot to commercial, but when we come back, we'll go into a little bit more about the book, because there's so many helpful things in that book that I just want us to be able to share a little bit and really encourage people to think that there is stuff for them out there. Keep them right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. Rentcottage.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Oh, Welcome back to Light on Living. I'm so happy that we are sharing this time with Kathy Anello. And her book, 6 Months to Live, is really the question that we could all benefit by asking ourselves, what would we do if we only had 6 months to live moving forward? Now, Kathy, you had said something in the beginning, and as we talk more about the book now, it's probably more of a personal question because I think this is so interesting, but you had mentioned that illness will manifest in your body, you know, when we're stressed. And do you believe, so this is just your own beliefs and everything, do you believe that every pain or illness, every headache, every backache, every cancer, I'll go as far everywhere, is due to an emotional unhappiness or an emotional stressor or something like an emotional?
Wow, that is a loaded question because I'm not a doctor. But I will say that the one thing that I learned from my life coach is that your body is the barometer of truth. And when you, yeah, that's like my favorite quote from her. Like I live by that. But she would always encourage me because, I mean, I had to like really learn how to live again because I was so focused on people pleasing and making sure I had lived so long making sure everybody else was happy and not taking care of myself and not even really knowing what that even meant. Because when you're a mom, I mean, I have 3 kids, I have grandkids, I had a partner, I had like friends that relied on me, and I had like my support team and my circle is pretty large. Like I have a lot of people in my world. And so I really got lost in that. So what I say is that when your body is talking to you physically, and, you know, Louise Hay, like she would say that everything is a manifestation of some kind of an emotional thing. So she was one of my first teachers on that. But I would say that when you're feeling those feelings, you're feeling sick, you're feeling run down, you're feeling tired, or something manifests into a full-blown, you know, diagnosis, that you have to ask yourself, what part of this is emotional? What is going on in my life that I am out of sync with, or that I'm keeping hidden, or that I'm covering up for the world not to see? Because those were some of the things that I was doing. And so I think that I do think it is. And I think that also, I think that, you know, the world today is very, you know, chemical orientated, and there's a lot of, you know, toxins in the world that can affect our physical body. But I also think that I have to sort of stop the people pleasing, and then I go into a place where it's like, now it's like all about me. And so once you kind of put all your focus on you, you do start getting healthier. It's just a byproduct.
It is. Yeah, I love that you actually mentioned people pleasing. That really jumped out at me when you said that. Here's a funny example question for you, because this just happened, and I try to be so go with the flow with it, but really I'm not, and so I don't know now if I should just try to. So this is a hiding thing, right? So it's been a crazy weekend. Everybody's busy, and I had unexpected guests drop by, and I don't allow this. Like I actually would literally say, like, make them stand outside the door. I don't want anybody in if they, there's no appointment and it's all this, but I had to let them in. It was raining and all this stuff out. And it was so hard because I wanted to be a people pleaser to say, oh, you know, choose the cat litter box. You know, maybe there's a poopy in it or so. I don't know something, right. But I'm like, but this is my house and they showed up and there's, and so it was like, how we get so torn of when, where to draw the line of, is this where I'm trying to please someone else, or is this because I really, I truly care? Like I would care, you know. So how do we figure that out? Like with that barometer thing.
Well, in regards to the people pleasing, that was, you know, I worked a lot on that because it's my nature to be kind and loving and compassionate, and sometimes that's also to a fault for me because I always see the good in people, and I always sort of give people sort of the pass and go, oh, well, they're going through this. And, you know, like I never try to, I always look for the good. But what happens is the people pleasing stuff really will cover our spirit.
Oh.
And it energetically starts to attack ourselves, you know, which weakens us and makes us ill. And so it's like you have to step out of people pleasing and say, am I doing this because I'm kind, compassionate, and loving, and I love this person, and I'm giving them 100? Or am I doing this because I'm afraid of how they'll react, or I'm afraid of what's going to happen? Because for me, I mean, I was walking on eggshells for years in my life, not just in my corporate world, but also at home. And I wouldn't admit that to anyone, but I can now because it's long story short. But
freedom.
I basically, yeah, because of freedom, because I basically realized after that wasn't my truth anymore, that I wasn't walking on eggshells and I didn't have to do anything to make somebody else happy. Like, I let people in my world just be responsible for their own happiness and was loving and supportive if they needed me. Like, everything changed for me. And I was able to focus on myself and choose to be there for people when it fit, and be able to say no when it didn't. And that was a huge life change for me, a huge one. And I'm so much happier as a result. Like, I'm pretty much 99% happy every day. I've gone through some of the most horrific blindsides on the planet in the last year, but that's a whole other story. I basically have managed through it all to stay super happy. And I question that. Like, I just posted the other day on my Facebook page this quote that said 2018 was a weird year because I lived my best life and worst life at the same time. Mm-hmm. And because I was really going through a lot of blindside trauma, but at the same time, I was able to distinguish what people were important to me, how my feelings really mattered, what my day was going to be like. And I had this newfound freedom of finding out who I was again. And it was just amazing. And then it was like, okay, Kathy, time to read the book again. You know, yes. Time to go back and listen to your own lectures.
That is, you know, I think you just, I feel like you just gave a lot of people something to hold on to there, because it sounds like online into my ear says, listen, you can honestly get through anything when you are living your truth, because you've released fear. You've released that it's fear of judgment, fear of failing, fear of all those things.
Fear is everything.
Yeah, it's everything. So really, the question is, when I think about, you know, my 6 months, 5-6 months live, it really, I guess the coverall answer for me would be what I would do in the 6 months is to live my truth, because then it kind of helps everything fall away. Like what you said, the people in your life that are not there for you enough. When you said you wanted to, you know, time to read the book again, does the book offer steps and tips and little tools through it?
So basically what I did with this book was I basically broke it down into 24 weeks, like month one, 4 weeks, month two, 4 weeks. And I basically have just share with my readers, like, everything that I found was really important for me. If I only had 6 months to live, what would I look at? What would, you know, so those kind of what it is. And then at the end of every chapter, I basically share with you what questions I ask myself. And sometimes I shared my answers, but like just for instance, for health, like the number one question to ponder, and that's what it says, questions to ponder. And I'm a firm believer, and I said this earlier in the interview, is that once you answer a question, you cannot unring the bell. Like you cannot, like once you know your truth, you can go ahead and deny it, but you can't deny it inside, like you know it. But the first question I asked is, if I had to make a choice between money and health, what would be more important? Well, it's a no-brainer that your health would be more important than money. So why are we beating ourselves up for money when it all fell apart? You'd be like, I'll just take that organic orange juice and sit right here.
You know? So why do we then? That's perfect. And I love that you actually used that example. Why do we? Because we do. Many of us do that. If you'd ask the question, we totally say one thing, but most of us live the other way. Why? Oh!
Yeah. We don't even know why until we ask the question, and then you boil it down and you say, well, if I only had 6 months to live, money would be the least of my worries. And I always find, you know, I believe money's energy. And once I stopped worrying about money, and I mean this honestly from my soul, I don't ever worry about money, and I'm self-employed. But for some reason, once I stopped worrying about it, the abundance was just there. The ability to get me through my months, pay my bills, help people if I needed to, just flowed to me. And it was really, and I had lived many of those years at work so worried about money and so tied to my golden handcuffed paycheck, because, you know, it was a really good salary. And I was like living a lifestyle that was really fun, and, you know, car payments and mortgages and all those things that come with having money. And then once that all fell away, I was like, yeah, I don't have to worry about money, because money is always going to be there. I just don't worry about it anymore. I worry much more about my health than I do about money.
Okay. And not worry. You just focus on it. Yes. You do your things every day. Like, do you have, what's your daily routine? Are you like, do you work out, or do you focus on just more vitamins? Like, what's your regime for being healthy and wellness?
Let's see. Well, yes.
Definitely nature.
Probably 99% organic as much as I can. I eat clean. And I try to meditate. I wish I could say that I meditate every day, but I do try to at least silence my mind for even a few minutes and sort of before I start my day and get out. I always wake up and have, like, there's three things I do. I definitely think for three things. I always wake up and say, what three things am I most thankful for? And usually it's people. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm so thankful for this person being in my life, or what this person's done to me, or what this person's told me. So I do that. I say the serenity prayer, and I sort of let go of the concept that I have control over my day or the events that might happen. And so I do sort of a letting go thing. And then I get out of bed and I do my coffee and my, you know, sort of morning immunity blast. And then I just sort of.
Oh, I love that.
Sit in silence.
Blast.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, the little concoction. And then I basically just sit in silence for a few minutes. And a lot of times I'll pull a card and kind of see where my life's headed. Because, you know, I love to pull cards. And I'll just sort of start my day. And then when things happen, you know, because I'm not 100, but I try not to let the big things take the whole day away from me. So you might get that hour from me.
Uh-huh.
Like if somebody comes at you or some problem happens, I'll be like, okay, I'm in that hour. I let you have that hour, but you're not getting my next hour. Because I'm a firm believer that anything can change in an hour. Anything can change in 5 minutes. We already know that, but I always feel like some days I just take it an hour at a time, and I'll be like, I don't know what the next hour is going to bring, but I'm good. But this one,
well,
we're going to
move
on.
You have 24. You have 24 days in a day now. Every hour is
right. Well, you do, and that's the interesting thing about time is that we're so, and that's the other thing about health is we're so lived by a clock. And like, if people are late, everybody's so stressed out. If you're sitting in traffic, you're like, oh my god, this guy drives like hell. Like you let all these little time events affect you. When time is an illusion, like we don't know what time it is. We don't know what clock we're living on. We're on the clock that was sort of created. But if something was to happen, time would be irrelevant. If something happened to your family member, you would drop everything. If something happened to you, time would not matter. The only time that would matter would be with the people that you love and the people that you want to connect with and the people that you want to say, you know, I just want to spend these moments with you. Like, if there was a catastrophic event in the world, what do? The first thing you do is group as a family. You know, you call your loved ones. Like, those are the moments that you get to say, this is what is important in life. And all the rest of it just fades away.
I am just loving right now how that really time for me, like me connecting with Kathy Anello, you know, author of 6 Months to Live, which is actually a time thing. You know what? Time is, it's the illusion of time that I'm going to always remember you for, because even, it's funny you said catastrophic event, right? When I was thinking about, like, if my cat, you know, if I had to take her to the vet, I would never even second think, oh, I have to be at my work shift at this time, or how long will it take? You know, there's no time that matters. And also, I love that you, time is so cool. If somebody's having a conversation, there's two people having a conversation, and one person is really enjoying the conversation, but the other person isn't. It's like the person who's really enjoying it, it's timeless. It's like, it's flying by. It's like not even anything. And the other person, it could seem like an eternity. Like, oh my God, is this ever going to end?
So funny.
But there's back to, and I want to ask you to repeat that. Was it the body is your barometer of truth or peace? What was that you said?
Your body is the barometer of your truth.
Of your truth. Okay.
In other words, if you're feeling something
off,
whether it's a backache or a neckache or the flu, or, you know, for women, you know, how cycling women, you know, who are going through a bad part of their cycle, or, you know, it's like, what is going on? Like, if you can take a moment to pause that and say, and in the same breath, do whatever you can to feel better. Right away. Mm-hmm. Like, if that means I got to stop today and lay on the couch, then that's what I have to do. And that's something that was really hard for me, because I am a type A sort of go get it, always on the go, never, you know, let them see you sweat kind of girl.
Yeah.
But now I'm learning to be like, okay, Kathy, your body's tired. Like, go lay down. You don't need to finish this today. Or you can get up from your desk and walk away now.
Permission.
And tomorrow it's still going to be there. Yeah. And so I've really given myself, that's a great word, because I've really given myself permission to just honor what's going on in my body instead of fighting it and thinking, no, you know, I do taxes, so tax season is around the corner, and I'm thinking,
oh,
I don't ever want to go. Yeah, I don't want to go through. That's what I do. It's my day job, but I don't want to go through what I've gone through the last 2 years, which is work myself to the bones to get through a season of time. And so I've really this year sort of gone, you know, I'm gonna plan this out just a little bit better, and I am going to put Kathy time in there. I'm going to honor what's true for me on every day rather than thinking, you know, I have to work till 11 o'clock every night. Like, I'll get done what I get done. And it's such a different mindset for me this year. And I'm excited about it now. Whereas last year I was like crying that I wasn't even going to go through it again.
Yeah. I mean, feel sick probably. Yeah. And I love that you're going to be, you've planning it and you're booking that appointment with nature. And it's, this neat thing about that is that you're getting excited about, as opposed to thinking it's a punishment to have to take yourself out of work, you're looking at like it's an excitement because I get to listen to myself and nurture myself.
Yeah. I'm much more interested in myself than work right now.
It's so funny. Because you're a creator and there's so many beautiful things that you can create and get excited about. And speaking of which, we'll have about a minute before we go to commercial, the last commercial. But this is what I would love for you to share when we get back. In the book, when we're considering all these things, I believe that when we have our wellness, that we really can be the creator. Like it's unimaginable. And I'm so excited for you to share, if you could, when we get back, some things that people could do to pause, to pause and ponder, and then to what can they expect when they do these things? Like, what are the joys and the excitements and stuff that they can get from themselves when they do this? So we're listening to Kathy Anello, and she is the author of 6 Months to Live. So we'll be right back after the commercial break and find out the good stuff.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, everybody, we're back to Light on Living. I'm Lisa Berry, and we have Kathy Anello here, and just loving this whole conversation. It's so much to, it's all about us. I mean, this is really a self-loving conversation, I think, and it's really cool. But before being an author, or I don't know the order here, but I have you that you're a certified healing intuitive. First of all, I'd love for you to share what that means to you and what you do. And is that threaded through in the book or
It actually isn't really threaded in through the book. What happened was that I really was seeking more spiritual. I've always been psychic and I've always been able to follow my gut instincts. Although you wouldn't know it by the time I spent, people pleasing. But at the end of the day, I always knew that that was a part of who I was. And so when I had the time and I was off work for a few years, I really just had the time to sort of develop that skill a little bit. So I took some courses and just got certified in how to sort of really be more in tune with your intuitive feelings. And then the healing part is that I'm just a healer. Like when people have come to me, I've been able to sort of help them heal what's ailing them just through conversation or touch and just being, just being around them. So that you get that title from the certification, but I don't actually have a practice.
Right.
So it's just sort of part of who I am.
And you do.
Because, yeah.
Yeah. I get that. It's who you are. It's the vibration that you hold because you are so living your truth that it's, I love this about people who thank you for doing that. Just thank you for living your truth. And it just know that it does change the world. It changes the vibration because anybody standing in front of you or talking to you and feeling that from you, because they do. I feel it. People will feel that. And it gives us almost like that permission to say, oh, wait, she's living her truth. Maybe I can live my truth too. And that's where the love is.
And I think for me, it was I know this person and my whole life, she would walk into the room and the room would light up. So I always aspired to be that person, energetically. I want to be the person that when I walk into the room, people feel it in a positive way. And so that was really part of my journey, was just really getting true with myself and being able to always be a light. Even if I'm having darkness, I can still be a light for someone else through my story, So it was really about being that light. And it just kind of led me down the intuitive path. And, I don't see the future, but I'm pretty knowing. my gut is very, very spot on with the truth of other people. So it's be careful when you hang out with me.
What's really neat about when you say about the future, because really all of our futures are our hopes and our dreams and it's our truth. And that's so neat when I know have such, it's funny that I have clarity about what the future is, that you, again, we're back to that living truth and wellness, because it's just, that allows you to live out those dreams and hopes. I have a question for you. When you were in the yuck, the not alignment, the untruth and people pleasing and corporate and stressed and crying, which is very sad, by the way. I'm so sorry that you did, but I'm glad that you went through it because you're here.
I cry every day practically.
Well, the flow, right? You're about the water.
Totally.
Were you aware of your dreams? Did you even know that you had daydreams and desires and wishes, or were they so squished?
They were 100% squashed. And they were squashed because I had people in my life that weren't supportive of my dreams, only wanting me to be supportive of theirs. And I allowed that. And so I pretty much squashed every piece of who I was creatively in those moments of my life of just going to work every day and coming home and making sure everybody in the house was okay and the laundry was done and the bills were paid and the dinner was done and the grocery shop. I was just living that life and I had no outlet except for fitness, because I've always done fitness, but that was my only outlet I was just living that life. And then once that life exploded, I was able to go, wait a minute, who are you and what the hell are you going to do with your life? And that's when I started writing. And I'd always wanted to be a writer. I'd always wanted to publish a book. I did a lot of creative writing classes in high school and some college and just wrote fun stories, but I never thought I would do anything with it. And then when the opportunity after that writer's workshop was you know, here's your format, here's your template, go write a book. I was like, oh, I actually think I could do this. Yeah. So that's really what happened there. But no, I was 100% squashed.
That is so when you mentioned it, when you said, you know, like making sure the kids were all okay and the laundry's done, the bills are right. You know, that's the thing that like a robot could do. There's no feelings. There's no dreams. There's no, you know, anything.
Well, we all do it. And there's a million moms in the world right now who are doing that. And I don't mean that gender-based because I know men are now getting more involved. But mostly females have been sort of groomed through our lives from our grandparents and our ancestors that this was our role. And I was an easy candidate to step into that role, having kids very young. And then I had a lot of brothers, so I was always the woman. You know, I always had to make the lunches. I always had to do the laundry when I was growing up. And then I went full on into being a mom, a single mom, and doing everything for them. And not even thinking about myself. It was just like autopilot for many, many years of my life. I was on autopilot for sure.
And that's a great word that you said, that you're groomed, you know, or trained, you're, you know, ready for position. And now, so now in your life, like I'm sure you still get your laundry done, and I'm sure that you still, you know, feed the family. But like, how did you do it? How are you able to do all of those things, you know, but doing them with that 99.9 happiness every day now and your joy and living that truth?
Well, it literally took for me this year eliminating things from my life that I, you know, like I had to walk away from people I once had love in my heart for. Like I had to eliminate the things and people who were bringing me down, because I had now this awareness that life could be so great. And in that process, you know, I was still struggling with some personal people, and it was like, can't do this anymore. And it was a very difficult decision for me to wake up again and walk out of my life that I had, not knowing what it was going to be. But it was the greatest thing. Sometimes you just have to jump off the cliff. You don't know where you're going to land. You don't know how you're going to land. And my landing was hard. And I had a lot of consequences that I didn't foresee. But at the end of the day, like I said, living my best and worst life, like even though I was going through something that nobody should go through when you try to walk away from situations, I was able to just stay in that one piece of, this is the right thing for you. You're going to make it through this.
You know,
a lot of self-talk, like you're going to be able to do this, Kathy, and you're going to be able to rise up, and you're going to find out who's really in your circle, which I did, and you're going to find out what's next, as long as you are willing and able to open yourself up to that. And once I did that, like everything changed. And so even though it was traumatic this last year for me, which I'm sharing some stuff in another book, but
I was going to ask you if there's another book. Oh, okay.
I'll tell you in a minute. So really what happened was, like, I was able to hang on to that one piece of truth, was that this is really what you want. So keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when we jump, you know, like you might jump to, let's just, you know, a simple example is like, I want to leave my job and I want to, so you start putting applications in at another job, and then maybe you get one, and maybe it doesn't pay as much, or maybe the schedule is a little bit different, but you're so unhappy in this job. Why aren't you just going to say, I'm going to try something new? But we don't, because we're afraid, like we were talking about fear.
Yeah.
So you have to basically just jump into that new life. And even if you can't pay, you know, out for dinner anymore, or you can't, you know, you have to go to a smaller car, or you, whatever it is, if you're happy, who cares?
Yes. Yeah.
So for me, it was just hanging on to that tiniest bit of truth that said, but you're going to be happier because you really want this. Mm-hmm. And then boom, here I am, you know, 9-10 months later out of that situation where I'm way happier.
You know, I love that you said the word circle, like who's in your circle, because if you've had to remove people, if anybody has to remove some people from their circle, here's the thing. I imagine a circle, and I think of people all holding hands. They're all connected. And if you've got a life where there's just a person that is in your circle, but they're not holding hands, they're standing out, you know, outside of it or inside of it, they're just not connected, and you do need to remove them, this is a good thing, because once we do remove them, it does make room for more to join the circle to connect and not be that weird, you know,
exactly,
crazy electron on and around.
Yeah.
So you did mention a new book. So have you started the new book, or?
Well, I've submitted a proposal to a publisher, so we'll see. But yes, I have started the new book, and it's called The Happy Mistake.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. It's basically a book about how, you know, in our life, we make a lot of mistakes. It's human nature to make mistakes. You know, there's a quote, we all make mistakes, like it's a standard. But the truth is that everything mistake that you've made, if you retraced back, you would find that if that hadn't happened, this hadn't happened. And if this hadn't happened, that wouldn't have happened. And so really it's about connecting the dots, letting yourself off the hook, owning what your mistakes and taking responsibility, letting go of the regret, and you know, finding that new path from those mistakes and really letting your mistakes lead you to the highest, greatest life you can have. So it's not finished. I've only written a little bit of it, but I have the concept and I know it's the book I have to write next.
I think that book will be a huge help because, you know, that's the number one thing that's painful on ourselves when we feel like we've made a grievous mistake, a mistake that we feel dumb or stupid, and we have all that language that goes with it.
Yeah.
And it hurts me when I hear somebody even say that to themselves, like, I'm kind of a person who doesn't live with regret. I truly, and I've done this when I was little, because it hurts. It actually hurts to feel badly about myself. And I don't want to feel badly about myself. And that's a big one. I said, so I'm really looking forward to this next book too already. It's not even out. It's not even written, but I can already feel it.
Yeah. It's probably a year away for sure. But have made some monumental mistakes that I've had to live with. And then trying to reconcile those mistakes when I couldn't, you know, I couldn't make any rhyme or reason about it. And then as time evolved, I was like, oh my God, if I hadn't done that, then this wouldn't have happened. And I really had after I lost my job, I really had a pity party. And I felt like I had made a monumental mistake quitting, you know, standing up for myself. I was like, oh my God, you just gave away $75,000 a year and you just did that, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I would not be sitting here in LA at doing this radio if I hadn't, you know, like that, like fast forward.
Exactly.
And then it's about listening. And then it's about learning to listen so you don't necessarily make mistakes, because a mistake is just a choice. And everything in our life is about the choices that we make. You might make a split decision choice that you regret, or you might be able to methodically make out a choice and be grateful. So it's like really boiling down to saying, take a minute to make your choices and try not to be a spontaneous choice maker, something I'm really working on right now.
Oh, and you know what? That actually, what a perfect thing to say right there, because as you said, mistake is just a choice. And if you can just take a moment before making that choice, and how do we do that? We go back to Kathy Anello's pause button, everyone, and really booking that appointment with nature, whatever that is for them, for you. And that is, I know we still have 2.5 minutes because I want to make sure, but what is there, I know there's so many tips, there's so many things, but anything you'd like to share and how people could get a hold of you other than buying your amazing book, 6 Months to Live.
So one of the, you know, some of the things that, you know, obviously if you do read the book, the questions are everything. Like, you have to answer your own questions. One of the questions I ask is identify 3 areas of your life that bring you the most stress. So that could be work, problem child, you know, partner or whatever it is. And then you name an action for each of those 3 areas that you can do to eliminate the stress from there. Like it might be having a conversation with this person or going to my boss and saying, you know, I really need to cut back on Fridays or whatever it is. So once you identify the areas of your life that are bringing you the most discomfort and then naming some action steps to change that, again, can't unring the bell. Your brain's always going to go, I need the Fridays off. I need the Fridays off. I need the Fridays off. So it's really about, and then asking yourself, you know, how do I live my life without worrying about the future? Without, you know, because if you only have 6 months to live, you're not thinking 5 years down the road. You're thinking 6 months down the road. You're very selective on what is important to you.
Yeah.
And what you need to eliminate. Yeah. That's kind of some.
Well, if they can get a hold of you, is that something that you could walk through somebody and coach them through? So would they reach out to you? And
anyone can reach out to me. My email at kathy@kathyanello.com. You can reach out to me. I'm one who will answer any question. Like, don't charge people for it. Like, you know, I mean, don't impudate my box. No, I'm just kidding. But I do like people. A lot of times people will reach out to me by email and they'll just say, you know, I'm struggling with this thing and I'm happy to help, because that's really what my work is right now. And but you can reach me on social media. I have a Facebook author page, Kathy Mello, 6 months to Live, Making Each Day Matter. My Facebook page is public, This My Friend page, Instagram, Twitter. Twitter's my favorite. So it's just, you know, reach out. Anybody can reach out to me. There's no, you know, I just, like, I love to gift people with if they're reaching out, I love to gift them.
Well, I wanted to say thank you for your gift of time today and sharing with us. And I also am going to do something just for you. You cannot unring the bell.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please, please pick up the book or reach out. So it's called 6 Months to Live, or just reach Kathy and Ello. And you can also check it out on my Facebook page, because I'll put the link right to her there and the replay of the show. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Bye.
Bye, everyone.